Hello and welcome to the Gospel Points Podcast, where the gospel is the point. I'm your host, Kevin Thompson. Thanks for joining us once again. And as usual, we have a great podcast here for you. A little bit late this week, sorry about that, but better late than never. And we've got a wonderful interview we're going to get to right after our weekly poll question. This week's Twitter poll question is, which pet would you prefer? The choices are cat, dog, narwhal, or none. So the winner is dog. Dog with 50%, a whopping 50%. Second came none. Third came a narwhal. And with dead last, with zero votes, is the cat. Now, I would much rather have a cat over a dog because, quite frankly, I don't want the idea of cleaning up poop. But you guys didn't like that. And the narwhal won over the cat. That's surprising. But I think if I had my choice, I'd go with the none category. I'm not a pet person. I don't want to clean up after them, feed them. I have kids for that. So anyway, that's this week's Twitter poll question. And you can join next week's Twitter poll question at Kevin J. Thompson, at Kevin J. Thompson there on Twitter. Well, this week we have a podcast I've been looking forward to, The Ordinary Pastor. We're going to be talking with Pastor Cody Almanzar of the Ordinary Pastor podcast, which is a great podcast that you should listen to after having downloaded the Gospel Points podcast. But the Ordinary Pastor podcast is just great. So we're chatting with Cody in this episode about what it really means to be an ordinary pastor, especially in light of the celebrity culture that we live in. So without any further ado, here's our interview with Cody Almanzar.
Well, we're on the phone with Pastor Cody Almanzar from the Grace Family Church out in Kansas. I just said Kansas again. We're just going to run with it, though, because no one listens to this podcast anyway. I'll edit that out. Cannon City, Colorado. Cody, welcome to Gospel Points.
Yeah, thank you for having me on, and look forward to the conversation.
Well, let's jump right into our conversation. In addition to pastoring, you are the host of Our Greatest Competition, another podcast. I'm hoping you have more than the five listeners. We do. The Ordinary Pastor podcast. So we're going to talk about what it means to be an ordinary pastor. And, you know, we live in a culture that's just obsessed with celebrity. And God's people are not immune from that. There's not a pastor in this nation that doesn't have to deal with the guy on the radio, the guy with the podcast, or the person on TV. And I guess the first question I've got for you is, what kind of a challenge does that present to you? Because the person in the pew is not just listening to probably you, but, you know, they're reading books from John MacArthur. They're listening to John Piper's podcast. And how does that dynamic play out?
Yeah, good. That's one of the reasons I started the podcast, but it also – what it does here is I've noticed, you know, I want the people of my church to listen to good preachers and learn from them and read them. But it also does something where you can see, and this is something that's happened more often lately, where people will leave the church and say they're okay not going to church. And these other guys are their pastors. You know, they'll listen to people on the radio. And that's not what we see in Scripture, the way that God has designed the church to be. And so that presents a real dynamic in that way where the other elder at my church, Doug, are really trying to stress to the church a biblical view of the local church. Yeah. And I think that happens to a lot of us here because Canyon City isn't very big. 17,000 people here, and I know a couple other guys who pastor some small churches around here, and they face the same thing. You know, a lot of these people will get burned by somebody in the church and want to stay home and just watch guys on TV, and that's okay. I'm not saying don't listen to these guys. Listen to them, the good ones, but there's a lot of bad ones out there, and so listen to guys, but don't divorce yourself from the church. And that was kind of like the whole point of the Ordinary Pastors. You know, I'm not John MacArthur, and I'm not trying to be. I want to be faithful in what God has called me to do here. And I think that's part of it.
Yeah, and I think part of the challenge is that there obviously are guys out there that you don't want people listening to, whether it's Joel Osteen or, you know, that type. Yeah. But I think that the problem a lot of churches, and probably the listeners to this podcast, aren't going to be listening to Joel Osteen or T.D. Jakes or whoever. They're going to be listening to MacArthur, Piper, Sproul, these guys. And these are not bad guys. They're great, and they're a great blessing, I believe, to God's people. But at the same time, I don't want to be sitting in a pew, and I face this, I don't want to be sitting in a pew and comparing my pastor to Piper, MacArthur, Sproul, and whatever.
Right, and I think that does happen. You know, I've even been told at different times, well, John Piper says this, or Vody Bachum said that, you know, or whatever. And so you do get that comparison. It's just, I think that's part of human nature for one thing, but I think that causes a real problem too for those of us as pastors, because, you know, I'm not in it to be compared to people. For one thing, you know, I think the goal of all of those guys, as well as my goal, is to preach the gospel, is to preach Christ and Him crucified to His people. And I think that I think a lot of those guys, those celebrity pastors, would be upset if they knew that was happening too at the church. I don't think that's their goal, but it does happen, and it does cause problems where people will compare and that sort of thing.
Yeah, we have comparisons, and you know it's easy to read Piper. I keep mentioning these guys, and I don't want to really call them celebrities because I don't think they would accept that title. I don't think they'd want that title. But we read these people, and it's good. But at the same time, you have this isn't what God intended for His church, in the sense that God wants you to be in a local community of believers serving and being held accountable. You have a pastor who is ministering to you, as opposed to someone who's just writing in a mere, I don't want to say mere, but in an academic setting, where you don't have a connection with this person. John Piper has no idea what sins I'm struggling with.
Right.
And you know, if I'm in the hospital, R.C. Sproul is not going to come and visit.
Right.
You know, although I will say that I have had, and I don't want to brag about this. It may hurt my ministry, but I can't say Pat Robertson has prayed for me once when I was in the hospital with a little child. Apparently I was on the 700 Club, but
really,
so there's my claim to fame. but, God knows a little bit about that. Because there are people who are incredibly smart and gifted. They want to read on a higher level. At the same time, you need to be in a place where someone is ministering to you, holding you accountable to what you're learning and holding you accountable to the commands of Scripture and making sure that you are being ministered to in a biblical way.
Yeah, and that was something that I've just had a conversation recently with somebody, is that these guys, as great as they are, they're not the overseers of your souls. I mean, the Scripture tells us that we are the ones, the elders, the ones that God has placed over authority of that church. We're the ones who have to give account for the souls of the people there.
Yeah.
Not Vody Bachum, not John Piper, not John MacArthur. And those guys don't want to. You know, they have their own flocks, and that's great. But we're the ones who have to give an account for the souls. And so our concern is the souls of the people in our church. Like you said, they don't know what sins you're struggling with. We should know what sins our people are struggling with and be able to minister to them and pray for them and weep with them and laugh with them and visit them and all those things. And that's why God has designed His church in such a way to set up elders and deacons in towns and in churches, in specific churches, and we want that. You know, that's the goal for our church. We want to minister to our people, and so I think being the overseers of the souls, you know, good preaching is fun to listen to. I get it. I totally do. I listen to it on my mail route. Since I'm a bivocational pastor, I have time. I listen to these guys. I listen to Steve Lawson or whoever, you know, because these guys are good, and they're better preachers than I am, and I listen to them and I learn from them, but they're not the overseers of my souls, my soul, and they're not the overseer of my congregation's souls either. And and so we, as ordinary, everyday pastors, are the ones in and out every day. In just a little bit here, I'm going to be meeting with one of the guys from my church, and it's just, I like to meet with people one-on-one a lot of times and just spend time with them. Like, I'm going to help him move a grill. He's going to help me load up some wood and bring it to my house and just spend time with them, talking with them about God and about their life. How are their devotionals going? Are they in the Word? Are they not in the Word? What did they think about the sermon yesterday? And that sort of thing, and see if there's questions, you know. And you're not going to get that from a celebrity pastor, which is okay, you know, they, if you're just wanting to listen to them. But I think there's a tendency in our day, especially with social media, that we can mistake or switch the idea that these guys are just celebrity pastors. They're not your pastor. Yeah. And to still be in that submission to your pastor, I think we can easily switch that just by listening to these guys and think that we know them.
Yeah, and I think there's also a degree of arrogance in that when I'm listening to one of these guys, I get to pick and choose what sermons I'm going to listen to. I get to pick and choose what books I'm going to read or even what chapters in those books I'm going to read. Whereas if I'm at Grace Family Church or some other church, I don't really have much of a say in what's going to be preached on. Yeah. And I'm going to get fed, whether I want it or not. I'm going to get fed, you know, vegetables or whatever that I'm going to have to chew through. That, yeah, it seems like we've developed this culture that's centered around me, yet at the same time, it's not centered around me. It's centered around my arrogance.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that happens too, because, you know, I do the same thing. I'll go on sermon audio, and I'll be scrolling through Steve Lawson sermons or whatever, and I'll find one with a cool title that sticks out to me, and I'm like, oh, I want to hear that one, you know. And I don't listen maybe to the 10 before that he preached on the same subject, just because they don't seem as dynamic or whatever. And, you know, the people, poor people in my churches, sometimes I don't even have a title for a sermon. So,
well, talk just a little bit more about what we mean by ordinary, because that's where the Christian life is led. We often look for the spectacular, but even the word ordinary seems to have a negative connotation, which it shouldn't. Mm-hmm. This is the lane in which God has placed us in. Right. We don't have. You look through the. Through the epistles, we don't command Paul. We don't see Paul commanding us to come up with the greatest sermon title or the most dynamic way of speaking. In fact, Paul himself says, "I don't have a great speaking ability." Perhaps he wouldn't have been a celebrity preacher today. Talk just a little bit about how God uses the ordinary as a means of grace.
Yeah, that's really good, and I'm glad you asked that, because I know when people hear this, if they know anything, they're going to automatically think about Michael Horton's book, Ordinary. And I promise you, I did not name the podcast after that. I named the podcast, and then I remembered that he wrote a book called Ordinary, and then I read it after the podcast had already been going on. But he illustrates it better than what I did, because when I'm talking about ordinary, I was – I don't even know why. I just wanted to start a podcast for some reason. I have no idea why. I'm not good with technology or anything like that. But I didn't want it to be something trendy or that could just be blown away real quick when the trends fade out. I was praying about it and saying, God, what should I do? I want to start something that will be meaningful and helpful to people. I don't really care to meet the big name guys. That's just part of my personality. I don't know. It's just one of those things where I'm not really that interested in meeting these big name preachers. And so I was praying about it, and I just started thinking, you know, an ordinary pastor, the guy who's in the trenches every day, like me, one who, I have six kids. We have number seven coming next July, and I work as a postal worker as well as a pastor. And I was thinking, these are the guys I want to hear, the guys who are in and out every day doing the same thing, going to work, struggling, you know, their cars keep breaking down. These are the guys who I want to hear from, because these are the guys who are going to be helpful. It's not the guys who have 15 other pastors working under them and they have all the time in the world to write or read or whatever. And so that was my idea on this ordinary guy. Now, Michael Horton takes this look at it as just basically, have you read Ordinary? I don't know if you've read it.
I hate to say this, I have it.
Okay.
I've read the first chapter.
All right.
It's on the list.
Yeah, it's a fantastic book. But he's bringing it out that it's just faithful, everyday ministry. And this is a means of grace. This is a way that God gives grace, is being faithful through prayer, through reading the scriptures, doing things at your church. You know, we take weekly communion here at my church, and it's one of those things that is a true means of grace, where God is conferring grace to his people through the ordinances, you know, and so doing that same thing weekly, confessing our sins before Christ, receiving an assurance of pardon from Scripture, and taking communion together. But it's just that faithful everyday ministry. That's what my idea is, and Horton really helped shape that idea on this ordinary thought, what that looks like. Mine was, you know, the guy who's struggling, and that's definitely part of it, the guy who's going through it just like me. These guys you probably will never hear of, you know, unless you listen to the Ordinary Pastor podcast, and then even then you'll forget their names. But these guys like that, also these guys who are faithful every day in and out of their ministry.
You know, you mentioned weekly communion, and that's something our church moved to a couple of years ago. And there's a lot of apprehension about that. I mean, are we turning Catholic here? Are we just doing this out of tradition? And I found that, in addition to that, we also do a weekly confession. And I found that's what I don't want to sound heretical here, but it has a feeling of keeping me in the faith.
Yeah.
When I walk into the building and I can say, along with everybody else, that I failed. I'm a sinful person. Mm-hmm. And receive that sense of forgiveness, that sense of absolution, is freeing. And then at the end of our service, we have our communion, and I'm reminded that this is what it's all about. And I come and I take that physical reminder of what Jesus did on the cross. I find that in and of itself is what keeps me going. Yes, the message is great, and that it feeds me and it helps me, but what keeps me going is that physical and weekly reminder that I've failed, but there is forgiveness.
Yeah.
More than whatever celebrity pastor, even more than the sermon itself.
Yeah.
That took me by surprise. I wasn't expecting that. And now it's just something I miss when it's not there.
Right, yeah. I think that's a really good point to bring up, because that's one of the things that communion is designed for, is to like you said, keep us in the faith, assuring us of our salvation in Christ, and having that common blessing with others, confessing him publicly. And, you know, we do that. We have three songs, and then we have a time of confession of sin, an assurance of pardon, and then we take communion together, then proceed with the rest of our service. So it might look a little different than some churches,
sure.
But as I was studying about the church, Jeff Johnson said something. He's been on my podcast a couple times, but he had written a book on the church, and one of the things he said, if you're not worshiping, if it's not pure worship or worshiping in purity, then all your worship is in vain, or something like that, to that effect. That really stuck out to me, and I started thinking, man, that's so true. And just to be able to go there and truly confess your sins before God, a holy God, and knowing that he is going to forgive you because he says so in his word, is just such a reassurance to me.
Well, I'm looking at the clock here, and we're kind of running out of time, but it feels like we're just getting started. So we're going to go ahead, and I'm going to continue this conversation for next week. before we close this week, it's our tradition here at Gospel Points that we're going to close with a question that's completely random. It has nothing to do with what we've been talking about whatsoever. Okay. Are you ready for this random question?
I'm ready.
Okay. Which movie do you believe deserves a sequel that has not yet received one?
Oh. The Incredibles.
That is the correct answer.
Oh, is it really?
That is exactly what I was just thinking.
Oh, man, yes. I love The Incredibles. I wish I would have a sequel.
Unfortunately, my mind is only on kids' movies recently, but and having six children, I'm sure that's the same thing with you.
Yes. But yes, it is.
The Incredibles is one of those few kids' movies that I can actually enjoy. I don't know why. Maybe that's just my shallowness. But
yeah, I love The Incredibles. I think it's a great movie.
All right, well, we're going to wrap up there, and and we'll stick around for more of the conversation next week.
All right.
Well, that's it for this week. That's our interview with Pastor Cody Almanzar. He'll be back next week, and we're going to talk a little bit about what it means to be bivocational, some of the challenges with that. And we'll talk a little bit more about the podcast, the Ordinary Pastor podcast. We'll have a link to that in our show notes and on our blog, which is www.kevinjthompson.info. That's www.kevinjthompson.info. You'll want to check that out. And we're getting closer to our big YouTube unveiling. We'll have all of our archives there on YouTube, and so be looking for that. Until next week, don't forget to share this with your friends, tweet it on Twitter, post it on Facebook, pin it on Pinterest, snap it on Snapchat, do whatever you gotta do to spread the word, rate us on iTunes. Until next week, have a great rest of your week.